We are in the middle of Siman 14 of Agaras HaKodesh. It's on page 463-464. In the English, it's very easy. It's right on top of the right-hand column in a very specific way. And in the Hebrew, it's just below halfway. There's a parenthesis. At the end of the parenthesis, it says, "Uprate pratyos."
No, really, in a very specific way.
Yes, it says in a very specific way. I'm not joking. I'm just reading what it says there. It says it in a very specific way.
Yes.
The altar ever wasn't lying. Okay, anyway. We are talking about the importance of giving to Israel each and every year, because every year is a new year. And he's basing this on and he's going to discuss this right now, the answer to this problem, the verse that says that the eyes of Allah, of Hashem, are upon Israel from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, and asking the question, but the end of the year is the beginning of the next year, so I should say always. So he says that no, there's a new vitality which is given every single year, and we sort of just mentioned it, he's going to talk about, you can talk about that here, is every day is a new day. Okay, and we see how. Well, prati is kain hu behold yom v'yom. If it's this way, it's every single year, it's the same way every single day.
Right.
You could ask the question, you're supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Why? So it says in the Gemara, kidei letam ruchenu aleichem melech, in order to accept upon yourself Hashem as king. So the question then is, every single, we do Rosh Hashanah in order that there should be, that we should accept upon Hashem as king. That's why we blow the shofar. That's what it says. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? Is we say, remind Hashem that Hashem is king. We accept Hashem as king. And how do we accept Hashem as king? We blow the shofar. So the shofar is a reminder that Hashem is king. So you say, what do I have to blow shofar for? I say the Shema every day. The Shema every day is so that I'm a Kabbal Il Malch HaShemayim. I'm accepting upon myself the yoke of heaven every single day. So that'd be the case then, so why do I need to blow Rosh Hashanah shofar? And the answer is I'm looking at it, punk fakert. The reason why I am able to be, say the Shema, and be Kabbal Malch HaShemayim every single day is because we blew the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Because each and every single day is a new entity.
New life force. Right.
Just like it is that you need to eat every single day. But I fed you yesterday. I have to feed you again today.
Feed you again today.
Because it's a new day. So therefore, the accepting upon itself, the yoke of heaven, is also a new thing. And it's specifically for today. Yesterday's accepting the yoke of heaven doesn't work for today. That was good yesterday, but what have you done lately?
Exactly.
So that's what he says.
It's not down there,
isn't it? B'chol yom v'yom, that's what it's. Which you said already, I don't know what it calls.
Over eight.
Yeah. Nimshachim meichim el yegnim yoyse b'chol tfilas hashachar. Okay, every single day, we're going to hope this is the way it is. A person daven today. Okay, and time is accumulative. Just like we said, that this Rosh Hashanah was 5775. And therefore, we drew into the world a higher level of Elikus than we did in 5774. That's why the numbers go up. But we didn't just all of a sudden flip from 5774 to 5775. There was an increase of one-day increments that we got to, finally, the last day of the year 5774. As far as the amount of godliness is appropriated, is going to be, you could say it's the highest amount of godliness because it's all built up on the previous 354 days. So then we get to the next day, the calendar switches, so it's like a natural progression. But it's not like just one day more because it's a different system. The system is now, it's not the day after Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's now the new year, it's a new thing. The last year, 5774, as high and good as it was, is gone. It's been dissipated. We've used up all the godliness that was appropriated for that. And now, so here it is, many months that we're into 5775. So the amount of godliness that we're using now has been appropriated. And we're using it up on a daily basis. First by every day Rosh Chodesh, and then every week by on Shabbos, and then every single day at Shacharis. Okay? story involving the Sanzer Rebbe. I don't know too many Sanzer Rebbe stories. I don't know which Sanzer Rebbe this was. Okay, so this specific Sanzer Rebbe was really in like the groove in Hanukkah. That was his holiday. That's when he excelled. Mm-hmm. Was Hanukkah.
Okay.
So it happened once, I believe it was on Zeis Hanukkah, in 1 year. Because if you're using the analogy that Hashem writes in the book on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem seals the book on Yom Kippur, Hashem puts the book on the shelf on Hashanah Rabbah,
right.
And Hashem closes the doors to the Sfarim Shafa on Zeis Hanukkah.
Right.
So you could always make up till then. So here it is Zeus Hanukkah. So he came, all the Hasidim are gathering around. They're going to watch him light Hanukkah candles. He walked outside and he looked towards the west. And he walked back into his room. And he stayed there for a while. And of course, this is like a stir among the Hasidim. He's supposed to be lighting Hanukkah candles now. I mean, a while passed by, I don't know, a half hour, whatever went by. And he walked outside again. And he looked towards the west again. And he came in and he lit Hanukkah candles. So as he's sitting there, one of the Hasidim asked him, what was the deal with going outside?
Yeah.
And he said, he wanted to check what was doing, because Hashem gives a certain amount of godliness for the entire year. So, and it's the final conclusion is made on Zeis Hanukkah. So he went to go see what was doing. And he saw that the appropriated amount of godliness had been used up already for the year. And here it was, it's only Hanukkah. We're only the third month in. We got 9 more months to go. Right. All the godliness has been used up. That's been appropriated for this year. So he went back inside and thought about it for a while. He came back out again. He wanted to check, was it true? And he went, he looked again. He said, yeah. But then he remembered the same thing happened last year. He went, he looked, and saw that all the godliness that was appropriated for the year had been used up by Zeis Hanukkah, and we made it to the end of the year anyway. So,
that's not the end.
He did not explain how that worked.
Yeah.
This is a Sanzer Maisa. This is not a Lubavitcher Maisa, because if it was, I saw just recently, I was preparing a shir, and I saw a Maisa that the Rebbe told that he had heard from the Friedrich Rebbe. It was a very short Maisa, very succinct, and the Rebbe spoke 45 minutes explaining every detail of the Maisa.
Aha.
Yeah. So we're not getting this with the Sanzer Maisa, sorry.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
Okay. So what happens, Yosef Becholsish, Ve'ein and Meichin, HaRishayin Shenistalik Acher HaTfila. These are not, where was I lost my train of thought? Ve'ein and Meichin, HaRishayin Shenistalik Acher HaTfila. These are not, where was I lost my train of thought? Okay, this is every single day you get a higher level of elokus, being that you're relating to godliness on a higher level than you did before. It's not the same that you did yesterday. Person davened yesterday, and he was in the groove in his davening. And then afterwards he went on to work, and okay, so what? The person says, halavai, you should daven a whole day. But he didn't take the whole davening with him the whole day. It took enough for him to get him to mincha. Good, fine. Okay, so now comes the next day, and he's got to daven again. And he achieves also an excitement. He's in the groove again. It's not the same groove. It's a higher level of godliness now, because he's one step higher. He's achieved
that
level. He did that a level. It may feel the same, or he may feel nothing. Okay, but his godliness that he's tapping into, or trying to tap into, is going to be one day higher than the previous day. Because yesterday's godliness, that's over.
It's past.
Yesterday. If yesterday's gone, then there's no godliness from yesterday remaining. It's all used up. It's a much higher level that you have today. The derech klal calls ha'olam b'sheis alfei shanim, and this is the way it's going to go for 6,000 years till Mashiach comes. Okay. So
we can't get 200 and some years for pre-bonus.
I'm trying to. I'm handling with a contract with somebody right now.
Uh-huh.
He wants to know the length of terms of the contract. So I told him I want 225 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? 225 years. That'll take me until Mashiach comes. Absolutely.
Right.
And if Mashiach doesn't come by the year 6000, because is it the year 599, after 5999, or is it after the year 6000? When does the sixth millennia begin? Okay, seventh millennia begins. So I'll begin it a year, you know, if I have to, but I don't want to. So if Mashiach doesn't come by the year 6000, there's some Kabbalah books they're going to need some heavy investigating into.
Mm.
So I don't have hope that I have to be part of the investigatory team. I hope that he comes already before, because it can come any time, you know. The Kehu B'chol Rosh Hashanah.
Still a good
and
day.
And that's the deal. Yeah, it'll be a wonderful day when Mashiach
still
comes.
A good day today.
That will be the deal. That's what happens every single Rosh Hashanah. That it's not the same. You can't say, I gave to this cause last year, and therefore I fulfilled my obligation.
Last year.
Yeah. So this is the remember. This is a tzedakah letter, and he's encouraging people to give to the Holy Land. And what's so special about the Holy Land? The Alter Rebbe was very partial. Okay, believe that.
Imagine why.
That the Holy Land. There weren't many people who were back then. I mean, it was a wasteland. The maps and drawings that were drawn at that time. There was an exhibit here. I don't know, 20 years ago. One of the first things I saw at the DIA.
Yeah.
Was from a cartologist, a British cartologist, an artist who went off to Israel, and he drew all kinds of maps and he drew all kinds of pictures. Tel Aviv was a bunch of dunes.
Wow.
You know, this is the late 1700s.
Yeah, okay.
So when Al Zerba was sending people there.
Right.
Okay. There was really just a couple of little villages here and there throughout the Judean hills.
Probably true, yeah. There was nothing.
Knock out Jerusalem.
Okay, so to go to, you know, to pick oneself up and move to Israel was a tremendous step. It was a tremendous undertaking to say, I want to do that.
Okay? Much like Bedouins.
Really? You know? And the Tzemach Tzedek had discouraged people from doing it. Alter Rebbe encouraged people from doing it. The Mittler Rebbe encouraged people to do it. The Tzemach Tzedek really kind of like, you know...
It's a great idea, but...
Yeah, he had a cousin. Mm-hmm. It was a cousin or an aunt, Menucha Rachel, was an aunt, who said, no, I'm going. I think it was because her husband was Slonim, was wanted to go over there.
Uh-huh.
And she went to the Tzemach Tzedek and said, I'm afraid because of the rain. Because it rains so much during the wintertime. And he said, the Tzemach Tzedek said... So you'll walk in between the raindrops.
Yes.
Okay, I think it was a cousin, if I'm not mistaken, because Yitzchak David Groner remembers his grandmother, who was a Rebbetzin Menucha Rachel, it was his great-grandmother. Mm. And his mother told the story of walking with her grandmother when it was rainy outside, and she would be wet. She was a little girl, like 4 or 5 years old. She would be wet, and her grandmother would not. Grandmother walked between the raindrops. Okay?
Yeah, you don't play with tzaddikim.
Don't play with tzaddikim, you know, so.
They're playing marbles for keeps.
Yeah. Indeed. So it's the same thing with every Rosh Hashanah. It's a new deal. This is what it means, that the eyes of Hashem are constantly upon it.
Right.
She'ayinayim hen kinuyin laham shachas ha'oris ora chachma. What's Einayim? Einayim is a nickname to drawing down levels of rays of revelation of divine wisdom. Okay, so it says that in Gullis, what's Gullis is that Hashem is not looking at us. So there's some place, one of the, we may have added that there's a question raised on chapter 121 of Tillim that says over there that the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
Right.
Okay? That the eyes of Hashem are looking at it.
Constantly.
So the Alter Rebbe, I think it's in Torah, in Ora Torah, talks about, well, when, what's the difference between Gullis and Geula? Is in Gullis, Hashem is only looking with one eye. That's why we're in Gullis. We don't have the full revelation. It's not full, too wide.
Interesting.
Hashem looking. It's one eye.
Hmm.
That's why it's called. It's an interesting thing. Okay, it's a little bit of a pun. Lachi nikra chachamim einei ha'ida. That's why it says that the sages are called the eyes of the congregation. Okay, because what is it that we're focusing on? Godliness. Godliness, this type of revelation, is called the eyes of Hashem.
Hmm.
The eyes of Hashem are upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Hmm. What is it that we say is Hashem does not have eyes, Hashem has no body, we're right. prohibited from believing Hashem has a right. body. So what is this an analogy for? This is an analogy for Hashem's wisdom, a level of Chachma, which is the beginning of the creation process being revealed here in this world. And in Golis, not so much of it is revealed in this world. That's what you need Chachamim for. The Chachamim are called the eyes of the congregation. Their job is to bring down more Chachma, more godliness, into the world for our benefit. That's what makes them the leaders. What's a leader? A leader in Judaism is not somebody who's out for their own gain. They're not, being a despot is like, you know, that's useless. Tyrannical? Nah, we don't need that either. The purpose right. of the leader is for the good of the community.
To lift everyone up.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. To make the connection between, Moshe's deal was to make a connection between Hashem and every single right. Jew. And every ensuing emotion, every single generation. So he's the eye, he's the one that's directing the godliness to each and every single individual. It talks about in the Gemara.
Hmm.
The power of sight. Okay, we know how you see things. How is it the sight works? Sight works is that that light enters the pupil and it bounces off the retina, gets picked up by the optic nerve, the little cone things over there, and gets sent to the brain, and the brain has a way of like determining these little pixelated little bits of light and puts them together and form a picture. Okay? So, the Chachamim, what is their deal as being the... so there's another thing also about eyes. It says in the Gemara, it talks about if you stare at somebody long enough, they're going to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? It's because the eyes also project. This has no scientific validity. You can ask any ophthalmologist about your sight projecting, and they'll say, don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So there's this projection that the Chachamim are supposed to be doing now. They're a filter, a conduit, a funnel, whatever term you'd like to use, for the godliness to come down to the individuals. So the Einei Ha'idah, the eyes of the congregation, they have to engage in like staring at all the members of the congregation. That's their job, is to direct the godliness that's coming through them so that there's this connection made between the masses and the Chachma, the wisdom, level of wisdom of Hashem. Okay?
I guess in truth that's why you read so many stories about this or that tzaddik looked upon this or that individual, and it says just a look of a tzaddik and they were changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the conduit of godliness.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Then he says, Vahavira de Eretz Yisrael mechakim. It says that the air in Israel makes you smart. There's a whole thing in, and I think it's in Masechta Taharas, in Mishnayos, having to deal with, in Seder Tahara, that talks about, for example, maybe it's in Kachim, I'm not sure, that talks about, for example, if you're in Israel and you have in your hand truma, and you stick your hand outside Israel into Chutz La'aretz, and you bring it back, the truma has to be burnt. Because the air, the atmosphere of Chutz La'aretz is metame. It makes things impure.
Wow.
And it says, that's totally spiritual, because you couldn't see any difference between
before
you stick your hand on the side. It's totally a spiritual thing. But it says that the air, the very air of Israel, makes a person smarter. Okay? It doesn't say smart. It says smarter. Because if all the Israelis would be smart.
Yeah, everything being relative, right.
If they were all smart.
Leave my relatives totally out of this.
Right, you know, so it's just like, man, it's a good thing they're living in Israel, some of these people.
Whoa.
Okay, I mean, I saw this myself when I was in Israel the first time. We were there for 3 weeks, and I had been on a trip. We're coming back from Israel, and we spent time in Hong Kong. We spent time in London. We spent time in Israel. So there was one point that instead of touring, I asked my wife if she wouldn't mind if I just went into the old city and sat on a bench and just learned. Because I hadn't, you know, she said, I haven't learned. She said, fine, the kids don't have to. My oldest kid was 4. We had 3 kids over there. Oh, wow. So she said, well, just, you know, if the kids don't care, they'll go play in the park. Right. Park's the park. It's a great day. So I was sitting in a learning, and my head just opened up. It was like unbelievable.
Wow.
The learning that I experienced that day, and I said, it's taka true. The air in Israel makes you smarter.
Wow.
Okay. So now, so if that be the case, so why is that? Is because, as it's listed in the Gemara, the Rambam brings it down to halacha, but it's not a halacha because Shulchan Aruch, because it doesn't relate to modern time. But there are different levels of Kedusha in Israel.
Makes sense.
Okay, there's the land of Israel, and there's Yerushalayim, and there's within the Harabayas, and the Heichal, and as there's Nashim, there's Yisrael, there's the Duchan, etc., 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 going up to the Kodesh Kedusha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are different levels. You might say, of holiness spread out. What's going to be when Mashiach comes, for example? I'm hoping, I may have mentioned this, but
it would make us about the highest level of tumor you can get, because
we're on the opposite.
Yeah, we're 360 degrees around.
Yeah,
or 180 degrees around.
The Friedrich Rebbe used to refer to this as Kadara Tachton Shein Tachton Lamata, at the bottom, that there's no more bottom than it.
Yeah, we're.
Yeah, yeah. So, so this. What I hope is not going to be a disappointment. It says that when Mashiach comes, that the Avir of Eretz Yisrael is going to spread out over across the whole entire world, because Avir Ruach HaTumim and Arts, there's not going to be any impurity in the world.
True, right.
That means that the whole world is going to be Israel.
Yes.
So it says, now one of the things Mashiach is going to do is going to bring all the Jews back to Israel. I hope my portion in Israel is not located in Oak Park.
Yeah.
It doesn't say they can bring them all back to Jerusalem. It says they're going to bring them all back to Israel. So there's two ways to do that. Either we schlep them all on a plane, or we extend the borders of Israel. And post facto, here we are, you know? It's like,
no.
I would be so disappointed if I was told, you got a nice house, you just stay here. This is your place in Israel.
Right. Well, that means the entire state of Israel becomes Yerushalayim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The entire Yerushalayim becomes the Harabayas.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
If we got choices,
I got my house on this villa in old Katamon, right outside the old city. That's, you know, that's where I want to live. I don't want to live in Oak Park when the Mashiach comes.
Not. I mean, it's a nice place to visit.
Yeah. No. If I had no reason to be here, I wouldn't be here.
It's Saginaw.
I won't tell that to the Jewish community of Saginaw.
Okay, I'll say North Korea.
Okay.
It beats Fostoria, Ohio.
Yeah, okay. I bet that's where you're spending your regalis these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even though this Israel is always on a higher level than outside Israel, it's not always on the same level. But every single year, new light. Higher light. Because the light that was new and made new on this Rosh Hashanah, that leaves the day before next Rosh Hashanah and goes back to where it came from. That's why it says only from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
Right.
And the word reishis is missing an aleph, meaning that there's something missing in the godliness is coming down. The godliness is coming down in this world is not permanent. Chaser aleph. It's missing an aleph. Remez al histalkus ha'arsh nistalka b'leo Rosh Hashanah. What's missing? The aleph is missing. The Rosh Hashanah at night, when it's no longer previous year, it's now the next year, before the God noise has come down with the blowing of the shofar, there's something missing. The Aleph is missing.
Uh-huh.
The inner godliness, which is in keeping the world and going, that's gone. That's why it says Rishis without an Aleph.
Uh-huh.
Until the tekiyas are blown, shiur or chadish el yin yaiser shalom hayim or adayim imei oilam. Or Ellen could say that Rosh Hashanah gives it the sign. Hey, bring it in.
Yeah.
Come on down. Okay, that a light which was never here before, because it was never ever 5775 before. So this is a new thing coming down. And this new light, what does it do? It encloses itself in every single level of world, and every aspect of every part of the creation to enliven it. Kol meshek shana zu, for the whole duration of this year. But now, what do you want to do? This is where we get to the spiritual hide and seek. Hashem hid all this godliness in this world during this year for us to find. And how are you going to find it? Torah and mitzvahs. That's what's going to reveal the godliness that Hashem put it in here. And that's how we're going to actualize that 5775 is going to be a higher year than 5774. Because between you and me, if you're doing exactly the same thing on 5775 as you did in 5774, you won't notice any change from last year to this year.
Right.
Okay, you're putting on tefillin every single day. You're doing it the same way, but there's nothing extra to it. Okay, so it'll get done. And you know what? You'll survive. You'll make it to 5776. That's terrific. Okay? But something's a felt epis. Something's just missing. Okay? We don't have the edge there. It's not like as good as it could be. It says we have to make every single day count. That's what he said at the beginning of the letter. Avram Zaken Baba Yamim. Every day, Avram made count.
Right, right. There's some new potential that he engaged in to its fruition.
Right,
every day.
Okay, so it's as quoted many times by many rabbis and many Fabrangans and et cetera, that you can't take a vacation from Judaism. You can't say, you know, today I'm not into the program today. I'm gonna take a day off today. No, there's no provision. Okay, and when you do go on vacation, guess what? So you have to divide your time on vacation among davening and learning. All that stuff still has to go on. You know, you want to call it a vacation? Good, because something. Hey, it doesn't matter where you sit and learn. You can sit on the beach and learn.
Sure.
Okay, provided that the ladies are covered.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
You find yourself a secluded beach where you can sit and learn under an umbrella. I'm a chaya. Okay. Yeah. You still got to learn.
Okay.
Still got to do what you got to do. And so, but the easiest way of bringing out the godliness into the world is through tzedakah. And what's the best tzedakah now, according to this letter, is in support of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now, if we couple this together with the statement, the famous statement from the Tzemach Tzedek, I'm not taking away from Kollel Chabad. That, for sure not. It's a wonderful institution. Okay, and my friend Shalom Duchman, he should live, he'll be 120, nach weiter, and keeps this institution that the Alter Rebbe started back in the 1770, whatever. He landed in his lap, the Rebbe made him in charge of it, and whatever happens, it should be Baruch Hashem. He should have enough what to take care of all the needs. He should have no deficit this next year.
Amen.
Okay, but the Tzemach Tzedek said, Mach doyer Eretz Yisrael. Somebody went to the Tzemach Tzedek and said, really, I'd like to be part of this pioneer movement. This is the 1850s.
Yeah.
Okay, the real pioneer movement didn't start until the 1880s. So this is still even before. I want to be part of this. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, make Israel here.
Right.
Because Israel is not necessarily just a geographical point. It's a state of mind. When I had spent many years in Teferis, Bechorim, and Morristown, so I reached the point where they had taught me everything they could teach me. I needed to go to another yeshiva. So I went, and well, where am I going to go to another yeshiva? All these other yeshiva gedolos, as they're called, you know, to progress in my studies. So I had difficulty getting into different ones. It was the middle of the year, and this, and that. So I got accepted into Kvar Chabad. So Rebbe Avraham Lipska said, you can't go to Kvar Chabad unless you get something from the Rebbe. You can just pick yourself up and say, I'm going to Kvar Chabad. This is a life decision. You know, and indeed, all the Bachrim, there were Bachrim that were into Ferris, that transferred to Or Tamimim in Kvar Chabad, Rebbe Gafni's yeshiva, and every one of them went with, I have a brother-in-law who got the Haskama from the Rebbe. Okay, so I wrote to the Rebbe, and in typical fashion, when I was a Bachur, I didn't get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Rabbi Lipsker, you know, hey, it's been like a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was, I didn't get an answer. So he said, your mother lives by herself, right? I said, yeah. She says, maybe it would be too difficult for her if you moved away so far. She would miss you too much. So go ask her how she feels. So I said, how would you feel if I moved to Israel? She said, hey, you know, are you going to move there permanently? I said, no, I'll go for a couple of years. She said, a couple of years is okay, fine. So I said, what about what's going on over there? I could get killed. And she said, you could be in a closet in your bedroom and get killed. That's possible too, you know. That's, you know, if there's a bullet in my mother with her, in her wise and straight way,
yeah,
said, there could be, wherever you may, the line that she used was, you could be in a closet in your bedroom. If there's a bullet with your name on it, it's going to find you there. That's, she never pulled any punches.
I love it. It's straight. I like it. Whatever. I like it.
So I wrote to the Rebbe again, saying that my mother was in agreement. She was, I had approval. I did not put in about the bullet thing.
You're wise, man. Wise at that.
And I wrote to the Rebbe, do I have the Rebbe's approval to go to Haskama Vibracha to go learn in Kvar Chabad?
Yeah.
Because I'd already been accepted there.
Right.
And that for Brengen afterwards, the Rebbe told over this story about the chassid who wanted to go to Israel, and the Semach Tzedek told him, Machdo Eretz Yisrael. And at that time, my understanding of Hebraeans was sporadic. Mm-hmm. Okay, I could read a sikha, no problem, but I didn't have the strength to stand for hours and hours and hours and listen to the Hebraeans. So, but that part, in the middle of a sikha, all of a sudden the Rebbe started talking about it, so I felt that the Rebbe was giving me my answer.
Right.
So the Rebbe said, you have to make Israel here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I've been doing since Tavshin Mem. That's what I've been trying to do. So if people want to give to the Holy Land and they want to look for something that's not so far out, they can go to rabbifinman.com, click on the donations page, and they can give to Eretz Yisrael here. So it's all dependent upon the actions of us terrestrial beings, and during the their merit of their tshuva that they do during the 10 days of repentance, and this is enough for those people who understand this principle. Okay, so that a person did last year was good for last year. The person has to do this year, has to do better this year.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say a person gave $100 to a cause last year. Does that mean he has to give $110 this year? No, he still give $100 because there's qualitative giving as well. Give it with a bigger smile.
Yeah.
$100 is $100. I mean, you know, the person getting it is still going to get it. Okay, what time we got? Okay, we're going to stop here. We finished chapter 14.
Good.